From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And coming up, when asked about climate change, Governor Rick Scott, Republican of Florida, has said he's not a scientist. Well, now a group of scientists in Florida say they are, and they're asking to meet with him.
But first, today in the world of big-time media, the question was, deal or no deal? And for now, it looks like no deal, because Rupert Murdoch's 21st Century Fox made a bid for Time Warner for $80 billion in cash and stock. And Time Warner said no, at least for now. But Murdoch is known for his persistence. NPR's David Folkenflik has written a book on the media mogul. It's called Murdoch's World, The Last of the Old Media Empire. And David joins us now from New York. Hi there, David.
Hey, Meghna.
So we're living in a new media world, but this is Rupert Murdoch flexing his muscles in a way that's quite familiar. Why would he even be looking for a deal with Time Warner?
Well, there are a couple reasons. You know, you can look at corporate logic, and the corporate logic would say, you know, there are a lot of like properties. You have FX and on one side. You have TNT, TBS on the other. They both have a bunch of channels that broadcast a lot of sports. They could cut backroom costs. He'd also be able to acquire HBO, which I think is sort of the core of the appeal to him. It's a premium cable outlet that we all know well, but it's one of a kind that he doesn't have, and that's one that's insulated from the vagaries and ups and downs of the advertising market, as its revenue source is almost exclusively, at least domestically, subscriber based. So that's a key thing for him, and that's a major part of the value for the deal. In reality, what it is a chance for him to write a last, perhaps final chapter on his own legacy. He's in his 80s. He split his company apart, much against his better instincts, into 21st Century Fox, his Entertainment World, News Corp, his newspaper and publishing arm. And here he'd be able to show that even as he's in his 80s, even as he's just divorced his third wife, mm-hmm. you know, that he can be resolute. He can define his own future despite the corporate moves and despite a scandal that he's wanted to get away from in Great Britain over bribery and phone hacking.
And phone hacking, right. And OK, so all of these reasons for Rupert Murdoch to want a merger like this to go through. But today we see that Time Warner, for now, has said no, even to the fact that, you know, it was a pretty hefty price tag, $80 billion.
Yeah, it was a decent markup over what the market was valuing Time Warner at, and its stock soared after the news of the offer came through. Jeff Bukas, the CEO of Time Warner, actually just within the last few minutes posted a video to the company's employees, also intended for its shareholders and the public, saying that, you know, that the board had consulted carefully with financial and legal advisors, decided it was not worth accepting the proposal from Mr. Murdoch, but also not worth engaging in future discussions with him. Murdoch had offered non-voting shares as a major element of the deal. Murdoch, you know, his two companies are publicly traded, but he and his family have always held control of their companies by having about 40% of the voting shares. They were offering non-voting shares, but, you know, Murdoch can also make it too public and too tough an offer to turn down. He can offer more money, and he may not be the only player in the mix.
Right. But, we were talking a little bit earlier about Rupert Murdoch's persistence. If Time Warner has said it's not worth continuing talks with him, I mean, is that enough to make Murdoch stand down permanently? Or I would gather probably not.
No, he's, you know, had his interest. I talked to one of his longtime advisors earlier today and in recent months, and said that this gentleman said that Murdoch has had his eye on Time Warner for 30 years. Now, it's a very different Time Warner than it once was. You know, Time Warner was involved in what is now conceded to be perhaps the most disastrous corporate merger in American history. It teamed up with AOL in 2000. It's split from AOL in 2009, a little earlier that same year. It spun off its cable unit, Time Warner Cable, and it just was able to do the same for Time Inc., which is what we think of as the old Time Life, the magazine division. So it's a slimmed-down Time Warner. It may find itself somewhat in play after Rupert's Murdoch's moves. And, you know, he was very resolute. He had wanted Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal for years. He bid $5.5 billion, a much smaller offer for a much smaller property, but it was such a big-ticket offer that the controlling family ultimately had its resolve not to sell eroded, and it did relinquish control. Rupert Murdoch took that over in 2007, and the rest on that one is history.
Yeah, absolutely. So, David, in the couple seconds we have left, who else might be interested in Time Warner now?
Well, you know, there's been talk in the tech world of Google, which has always said that it's not really in the content world, you know, that it just aggregates. But actually, Google could be a player. I also think if you look at Viacom or Disney, you know, there could be ways in which these companies complement one another. You know, companies that have a lot of interest in both the production and the distribution on its channels of cable television, which in many ways is the core of what Time Warner really has to offer.
David Folkenflik is NPR's media correspondent. Always great to talk to you, David. Thanks.
You bet.